Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
One of the things I can remember learning early on in our parenting journey was that there are sometimes questions that you get as a parent that you feel really confident about. When there's a toy that breaks and maybe it's a really easy fix, or something falls apart and you can put it back together really quickly, your child comes and says, "Can you fix this?" And you say, "Yes, I can." Or when there's a problem maybe with homework and it's still early enough that you feel pretty confident with the homework answers. As they get older, that's a little more challenging. But you feel confident, "Yes, I can help with that." Or maybe it's one of those moments where there are important questions that are being asked. I can remember one of those important questions where I felt like, as a father, I'm ready for this. I have been preparing for this. And that was, "Dad, what's the name of the purple Ninja Turtle?" And I could say, "That's Donatello. I've been preparing for this. I know all four of them." You know, some of those questions that you have, you kind of know, okay, here's what I'm ready for. This is what I'm ready to do. But then those questions can get a little tougher. And there are sometimes subjects that you don't feel like you're really prepared for. Sometimes it's even that way if we look through the texts of Scripture and we talk about certain subjects. There are some subjects we might feel really comfortable talking about. Maybe because we've had some experience in that subject. Maybe because we have studied that book a lot, or there's something that we've read that's been really helpful. And you're kind of excited when you get to those points in a Bible class or in a devotional. And you're looking forward to this because I feel like I have some confidence here. But then there are other passages of Scripture. There are other texts that we read, and they can be a little more challenging. Maybe because they're dealing with temptations that we face. You know, it's easy for me to read about what someone should do if it's a temptation that doesn't really affect me. But if it's something I deal with, that makes it a little more challenging. Or if it's something that's hard for us to put into practice, that can make it a little more difficult. And so as we go through 1 Peter, and we've gone on a journey through the book, thinking about what it means to be aliens and strangers, what does it mean to be people that aren't really at home in this world because it's not our final destination? When we get towards the end of the passage, I appreciate so much John David sharing reminders last week, reminders that we need. About how we're to serve and what God has given us with His presence and with our shepherds and our responsibility as members of the flock, and how we can, in following God's plan, be able to endure the attacks of Satan. And those are challenging things to reflect on. And as we close this series, I want us just to focus specifically on one of these principles that's tucked away in these verses that Gunnar read for us, as we think about what it means to cast our anxieties on Him. Now, I have to tell you, this is an area where I feel much less qualified than maybe other topics. None of us are completely qualified with biblical topics, but if we're looking through something and we say, "Boy, you know, I can really see my struggles with this," that can be a challenge. I don't want to brag, But I can tell you, I'm pretty good at worrying. I'm pretty good at coming up with things to worry about. Maybe you fall into that category. Maybe you can relate to that. I'm able to worry about things. I can worry about things that are unrealistic. I can worry about things that will never happen. You felt that before? And it's still a challenge for us to wrestle with that. And as we read through this passage and we see a phrase that sounds so simple, casting all our anxieties on Him. That sounds very simple, but we know how challenging it is. And so we're going to be reflecting on what we can do to put this into practice, what this passage teaches us about ourselves, what it teaches us about the God that we serve. But let me begin with this question. Can you think of something right now, one specific thing? Maybe it's something that if you had it, life would be different. Or maybe a change in your circumstances. If there was just one change, just one small thing that was adjusted, is there one thing that could happen this morning that could eliminate any anxiety that you face? What would that be? There's just one thing that could take away any anxiety, concern, worry that you might ever have to deal with. Try to roll over some options in your mind. Would more success do that? You know, if I were just more successful, if I just reached this certain level in my career, or if I just accomplished these goals, would that make life easier? Or is it possible that even if I accomplished what I've been working for, that then that might not be enough and there might be something else for me to worry about, to focus on? Maybe if I just had more things, more financial security, maybe that one little change could make things different. It could take away worry. But is it possible that if I had more, there would just be more for me to worry about? Would a change in circumstances do it? If just one thing were different about my life, or if just one thing were different about what has happened in the last several years, or what's happened to me, if there was one thing, would that eliminate worry? Or is it possible that no matter what happens in life, there'll always be something for me to worry about? Would the opinions of others have a difference? Maybe if everyone else just affirmed the choices that I'm making and the things that I'm doing, and it just supported me, and I just felt like everyone supports everything I do, would that eliminate worry? Or is it possible that I might still find a way to be concerned, that maybe they're all wrong? Maybe I do have things to worry about. You see, there are times when we face challenges, and specifically when we think about our anxieties and our worries, where we'd like to eliminate them. It seems better to us if I could just go through life without any of those things. And that feeling really resonates with me. But I think, as we've been reminded, the more we think about it, the less likely that seems. In fact, in this book, Peter warns about Satan, who's prowling around like a roaring lion. There are things to be concerned about. And so rather than trying to eliminate anxiety and worry, I think this morning we'd be better served to look at Scripture and to see the perspective that Scripture puts it into. Let's keep it in the proper perspective. I can't eliminate it. I can't get rid of it. It would seem more convenient if I could, but since I can't do that, I need to keep things in perspective and look at God's Word to provide that perspective. And so we begin in verse 6, and I'd like for us just to walk through each of these verses and then to think about what we can learn from them. But you remember that Peter has described the fact that there are Christians who are suffering. We know these Christians are scattered different places. They're dealing with challenges. He's reminded them of God's plan for the church, of the way that the shepherds are to lead and the way they are to follow that guidance. And as a part of the way God's people work together, he says in verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." Now, if you back up in those previous verses, you can see that as he's discussed the relationship between the older and the younger, between the younger men in verse 5 who were subject to their elders, he's quoting here from the Proverbs, the fact that God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble, and therefore, because of that principle, he says, humble yourselves, and then look at verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Did you notice that he's connecting the casting of anxiety to the humbling of myself? That doesn't start a new sentence. That continues the description. So if I'm dealing with my worry and my anxiety, Peter is saying part of humbling yourself, part of humility means I'm going to cast my anxieties on God instead of trying to handle them all myself. Then he says in verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. There's that vision that we talked about last week that JD described as the lion who's looking for one to devour. It's not something that's passive. It's not something that maybe if you're in the wrong spot, this could happen. It is a reality, a living reality for Christians then. And for us as well. And notice the response in verse 9. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And what's the result of that in verse 11? To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. So as we think about this passage and what we've learned in 1 Peter, what does this teach us about ourselves? What do our concerns, our worries, and our anxieties, what do they teach us about ourselves according to Scripture? I think there are a few things that are important for us to remember. Number one, I can see here that it reminds me that I'm human, that we are human, that we are going to face these kinds of challenges. Peter doesn't say you're not going to have a care in the world. He knows these Christians have cares to deal with. He says, here's what you do with those. Here's how you respond to those. It's good to know that every single person who's ever lived has had worries and fears and challenges. And when I'm dealing with those things, when I'm concerned with something, when I'm worried with something, it means I'm doing what human beings have done. I'm struggling with what humans have struggled with. In fact, as Steve reminded us as we took the Lord's Supper this morning, when Jesus walked the earth, he experienced the emotions that we've experienced. It's hard for me to even come close to imagining the depth of emotion experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I would have to imagine, among all the things that Scripture tells us happened to Jesus, I would have to imagine the emotion of anxiety and anticipation of what was to come was a big part of that struggle. And in the midst of that, Jesus models how we can experience those emotions and choose to do the will of God. Peter also would have heard the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to read those for us, even though they may be familiar to you, in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but there have been times I've read that and I've really sort of been prompted to go on a bit of a guilt trip to think, boy, it says here not to worry at all. Does that mean that every time I experience concern, does that mean every time I experience worry, that I'm somehow doing something wrong? That if I were truly a Christian or if my faith were strong enough, that I would never deal with any kind of anxiety or worry? Well, I think we need to back up and look at what Scripture teaches us. First, in that specific Sermon on the Mount, that's in the context of what Jesus has already discussed when he's discussed the love of money, not being able to serve two masters, not being caught up with that. And then the specific worries he mentions are the worries of the world about what's going to happen next. Even then, they're worried about what are we going to eat, what are we going to wear. That's the context in which Jesus is saying these words. But you know, we also see that same specific term where he says, do not be worried. That same term shows up in other places in Scripture. It shows up in Philippians chapter 2, for example, when Paul is describing Timothy. And in verse 20, he says, I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned. That same term, genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Well, here, concern is seen in a positive light because Timothy is concerned, but he's concerned about other people. It's not the kind of worry that Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount that's dealing with just material things and what's going to happen and I'm thinking about the things I'm going to wear and eat. It's not those things. It's concern for other people. That's a positive in Scripture. Or even as Paul is describing someone who's serving the Lord, as he describes marriage in 1 Corinthians 7 and describes an unmarried man as someone who is anxious for the things of the Lord, anxious to serve the Lord. It's that same term. So in that sense, if I'm worried about doing what's right for the Lord, that's a positive way in which it's used. So again, I don't look at the concept, the experience of worry, of anxiety, as something that's wrong. It's a part of life. It's something I'm going to experience. We are human beings created by God. The challenge is not, can I somehow get through life without ever experiencing it? The challenge is, what can I do when it happens to glorify God? I think about the way Paul reminded the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 that they needed to be angry, but sin not. It wasn't the emotion of anger that was inherently sinful. That's a feeling we're going to experience. The question is, what do I do with that? But we're reminded that we're human. And we're reminded that we can choose how we're going to respond. We're human beings that are going to experience emotions. We're going to have physical emotions, real feelings that'll be challenging for us. But what Peter's doing here is helping us put them in the proper perspective. How can I cast my anxieties on God? Even when I experience those things, I still choose how to respond. I think I've shared this before, but it's a picture that is powerful to me. And that's in Acts chapter 27. When Paul is on a ship that's being tossed about by storms, and these are serious storms, and people are afraid of what's going to happen. And Paul recounts how an angel has come to him and told him not to be afraid. And he tells the other men, be of good courage. So in the middle of this storm, as they're not sure what's going to happen, Paul receives the message not to be afraid and to be of good courage. But if I understand the text correctly, if I'm reading it, we don't see an immediate stop to the storm. We don't see the waters completely calm, as we read about Jesus in the Gospels when he calms the storm. So Paul's given the message that he doesn't need to fear, but the physical setup of what's happening, the storm that is still raging all around them, the boat that's being rocked back and forth, that's still in existence. It seems to me that even if they choose not to be afraid, they're still going to have to deal with the storm. They're still going to have to wrestle with it. They're going to have to deal with maybe the dizziness that comes from going back and forth. Maybe the seasickness that comes from that. Maybe all the challenges that come with trying to navigate. They're still there, but they can choose in the midst of those challenges to hold on to God. It's good to be reminded that we have real emotions. And it's good to be reminded that those are part of being human. And even in the midst of those, we can choose, okay, I can't choose to avoid them, but I can't choose how I'm going to respond. And it's also helpful for us to understand ways that God guides us through those storms. There are times when we're facing physical challenges and we need physical solutions. And if I've got a physical challenge that can be helped by spending time with counselors and with medication, then I can give God praise and glory for finding ways to help. It's providing ways to face challenges. There are also specific situations that might crop up, and I might turn around, and for a season of my life, I might be dealing with something I've never dealt with before. Those are real emotions that are there. And God provides us with people brothers and sisters in Christ we can lean on. Maybe those we can go to for advice, who can counsel us through those difficult seasons of life. We have real emotions. But Peter also reminds us here, we have real temptations. And one of the temptations that we have is the temptation to feel like I've got to handle everything on my own. This is where I think the connection between humbling ourselves and casting our anxieties on Him is important. Psalm 55, for example, reminds us that we cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. When I humble myself, I put my anxieties in the right context. If I feel overwhelmed by something, it may be that I need to step back and say, am I expecting to handle all this on my own? Am I somehow thinking that I've got to be responsible for everything? Or have I stopped to remind myself who's really in charge, who really has the power, who really can sustain me? Much of my worry will stem from me thinking that somehow I'm in control. It's good to be reminded that God is the one truly in control. I found it interesting that there are several different studies over the last several years that have confirmed a relationship between a person's faith and their mental health and well-being. It doesn't mean that Christians never have emotional challenges, but it does seem like there's a correlation in several different studies between those who can deal with challenges in a healthy way and people who have faith. There's something about understanding God being greater than any of our circumstances that can help us and keep us from that temptation to think it all depends on us or that we're only focused on ourselves. Do you notice Peter tells them, even in the midst of persecution, by the way, that we probably haven't faced to the same level that they did. It would be very easy to focus only on their own experiences and their own challenges. But he says, don't do that. You humble yourself and allow God to exalt you. And we're reminded of Proverbs 3, that he scoffs at the scoffers, yet gives grace to the afflicted. The submission under the mighty hand of God reminds us of the way that God has interacted with his people all throughout history. We have the temptation to focus on ourselves and make it about us. And yet Peter reminds us, no, we need to turn it over to God. Allow God to exalt us. Humble ourselves so that we'll be exalted by Him and not the other way around. Those who seek only to exalt themselves are going to find humility at some point. I've heard someone say we can choose to either humble ourselves in this life or exalt ourselves, and whatever we do, God will do the opposite. I think that's a helpful way of looking at it. We're real people with real emotions and real temptations, but you know what we have in the midst of all those things? We have real assurance. We have real assurance in the fact that God is with us. It may be the best thing you could hear from the text this morning is that Peter is assuring these Christians, not that all their persecution will stop. In fact, history tells us there was a lot more persecution that happened. But that in the midst of that persecution, they could have real assurance. I think about a similar message we see in Revelation. There are seven different churches in the first few chapters of Revelation that are addressed in chapters 2 and 3. You see seven different situations, and many of them are suffering, and they're being persecuted. And at no point are they told all this persecution is going to be taken away tomorrow. It's going to go away tomorrow. But every time they're told that Jesus is with them, that if they are faithful to Him, they'll be more than conquerors. We have real assurance, even in the midst of the storm. But let's think for just a moment about what this passage also teaches us about God. When Peter says, cast all your anxieties on Him, sometimes we focus on the challenge of that first part in verse 7. But notice the second half of that verse. Because He cares for you. Dealing with our anxieties, dealing with our worries, is also an opportunity where we can be reminded that God loves us enough to care. He loves us enough to care about what we're dealing with, about what we're struggling with. Sometimes it might not feel like a lot of people care about a specific issue we're facing or something we're struggling with. We can know that God does. That He cares. When we think about bringing those things to Him, we can know that He wants to hear from us. We've already sung this morning, "In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief in prayer." Why do we find that relief? Because we know we're talking to one who cares deeply for us. Maybe we feel like the psalmist who would say, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him?" Maybe we look at God's creation and say, "I can't believe that you care enough about me to listen to what I have to share." And yet, we're reminded of God's care and concern for His people. This is one of the things that makes faith in God, in the one true living God, stand out from any other competing system of belief. In the ancient world, there were other gods that were worshipped. There were pagan gods that had pagan temples. But none of those belief systems served a God that loved His people enough and cared enough to do what we see Jesus do on the cross. That distinguishes Christianity from any other system of belief. He loves us enough, cares for us enough, that when we look at Jesus in the garden, when we look at Jesus on the cross, we're reminded of the depth of God's love for His people. If there's one thing that we could leave here with this morning, maybe it would be just the conviction that whatever it is that you are dealing with, and in a room this big, we're all dealing with some kind of challenge, God loves you enough to care about those things, desires for you to share those with Him, and seeks to sustain you through them. Not only does He love us enough to care, He's also powerful enough to help. Sometimes when we're dealing with our own challenges, we feel like it's all up to us. I've got to provide everything. I've got to think through everything. I've got to figure out how I'm going to do this. Isn't it good to be reminded that God is powerful enough to help us with challenges? In fact, when Peter talks about resisting Satan, he doesn't talk about us resisting Satan in our own power, as if somehow we by ourselves are able to deal with the temptations and everything that Satan throws at us. He says we stand firm in our faith because we serve a God who is more powerful. We need to understand the reality of Satan. Satan described here as a lion, as an enemy, the name itself, accuser, the adversary. We understand the reality there, but we also understand the reality of God's power. And while God and Satan may have opposite purposes, they are not opposite in power. God is far more powerful. God is powerful enough that when we stand firm in our faith, we can have confidence in God's power. That means even the things that I don't completely understand that I'm dealing with, that I'm struggling with, God is powerful enough to help me through. Even if it's not necessarily the way I had envisioned or the way I would choose to do it, knowing what I know in my limited capacity, but God is powerful enough to help us through, to sustain us. That there's nothing that can happen to me, there's nothing I can encounter that will be a surprise to God. That He will sustain us. He loves us enough to care. He's powerful enough to help. There's a part of me that wishes we could find a simple answer for how to eliminate challenges in our lives. Sometimes we just want that. It seems like it would be better that way. But what Scripture gives us is a message that while we don't have that guarantee in this life, what we do have is a reminder that God loved us enough to send His Son and has prepared a place for us. And it's a place where we're not going to have to just deal with the fact that we'll have challenges. It's a place where tears are wiped away. It's a place where we spend eternity with our Creator. We spend eternity in an existence that we can't even completely fathom. We serve a God who loves us enough to give us an invitation to be part of His family and His kingdom. Yes, we're human. We're going to deal with challenges, but we have real assurance. And it may be this morning you need to make that assurance real in your life. Scripture tells us the way that that happens when people turn their lives over to God was they decided they were going to live differently. They confessed Jesus as Lord. They put Christ on in baptism. And then they began living a life that still had challenges and still had problems, but also had that assurance. And the good news of the gospel is that's available for us this morning. It may be that you could use prayers and encouragement. After this worship service, if you go out this doorway, there's a room where a couple of our shepherds would love to sit down and pray with you privately. It may be that prayers of the whole church are what could really encourage you this morning. It's good to know that no matter what we face, we serve a God who loves us, who's powerful, and is with us every step of the way. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing together.